إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله this is going to be another episode from the teachings of the explanation of the book منهج السالكين by Sheikh Abd al-Rahman Ibn Nasir Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala Babu Bi'il Usul wa Thimar, the chapter of the sale of the roots of trees wa Thimar and fruits. الشيخ says قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger of Allah, may the blessing and peace be upon him, said من باع نخلا بعد أن تعبر فثمرتها للباع إلا أن يشترطها المبتاع, متفق عليه. Whoever sells a dead palm بعد أن تعبر, after it has been pollinated, فثمرته للباع, the fruit belong to the seller, إلا أن يشترطها المبتاع, unless if the buyer stipulates that this is agreed upon. This hadith, likewise this chapter, is talking about how the farmers and the buyers of the farm produce, how they relate with one another. If somebody has a farm that has trees, and the person decides to sell the farm as a whole, if the trees of the farm, take for instance the date palm, if it has borne some fruits, some dates, and this was as a result of the effort put in by the owner of the farm, who happens to be the seller of the farm. Maybe he has pollinated the trees so that the dates would grow well. The Sharia recognizes the effort of the owner of the farm, who happens to be the seller, that the fruits at that time should go to the seller, that is the owner of the farm. Unless if the buyer stipulates as at the time of sealing the contract of purchase of the farm that the fruits now will also be taken along. It is only in this situation that the Sharia rules that the fruits go to the buyer. But without the stipulation, having been mentioned, the fruits of the trees at that time will go to the seller because of the pollination. So this is what the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, wants to establish here, based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ba'a nakhlan, whoever sells a date palm, bad unto a barra, after it has been, or after the date have been pollinated, فَثَمَرَةُ وَلِلْبَعِي, the fruits go to the seller, that is the owner of the farm, إِلَّا يَشْتَرِطُ الْمُبْطَعِ, except if the buyer stipulates this. And that's why in Islam it is very, very important that when we are sealing a contract, we have to spell out what we are contracting, what we are agreeing upon, so that this will not lead to quarrel and disagreement amongst us. So we have to come together and what reach an agreement. What do you want to buy? What do you want to sell? We have to spell out those things so that it will not lead to quarrel. And it leads to quarrel. Islam rules here that the date palms, the fruits, should go to the seller because he has worked on that. So what we go to the buyer is the trees in the farm, which we subsequently grow fruits. But the present fruits will be harvested by the seller because of the effort he has put in pollinating them. So this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote. Now, by something similar to this, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, "Man ba'a 'abdan lahu malun famaluhu lilba'i illa an yashtaritahu al-mubta'." Whoever sells a slave that has wealth, the wealth is not inclusive. That is, it's not part and parcel of what the buyer has bought. So the wealth goes to the owner of the slave. It is the slave that has been sold, not the slave and the wealth. So the wealth goes to the owner of the slave. So why the slave is what the contract has been sealed on. So it is the slave that is sold, not the slave together with the wealth. Except if the buyer stipulates that I'm buying the slave and the wealth, on condition that the price is not the same thing with the wealth. Take for instance, a slave has a 20,000 naira and want to buy the slave and the wedge, and you are going to buy it in naira. So you won't say you are buying the slave, for instance, for 30,000 naira, meaning you are buying both the slave and the wedge, the 20,000 naira. So because there won't be tamasul in that regard. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam let us know that it is very, very important to stipulate. When you are buying things, you have to agree on a thing. So it is what you spell out that will be considered as what you have agreed upon. Unless if it has been known in the culture, for instance, or in the custom, that this is the way things operate. So, and that's why the scholars of Usul al-Fiqh who say al-ma'ruf urfan, كَالْمَشْرُوطِ شَرْطًا. So whatever has been customarily known is like what has been stipulated. So this is important. So when you are having any transaction deal with any person, you have to make it clear. If it is not clear, so the owner of that thing is likely to be the one that they are going to rule in favor. they are going to rule in favor. Take, for instance, you have an agreement with an Okada man to take you to a place, but this agreement was not well spout out. It was not well pronounced. And on taking you to that place, it says it's going to take that when you are reaching an agreement in any business transaction or any contract with people, you have to spell it out. So this is very, very important in order to avoid quarrel and dispute among the parties involved in any financial dealings. ومثل إذا ظهر الزرع. The Sheikh رحمه الله تعالى says, وكذلك سائر الأشجار إذا كان ثمره باديا. Likewise, the other trees, the rest of the trees, إذا كان ثمره باديا, if the fruits are manifest, the fruits are manifest. ومثله إذا ظهر الزرع الذي لا يحصد إلا مرة واحدة. So the Sheikh رحمه الله تعالى said, likewise, the trees, we are not allowed to buy, to sell trees, for instance, or the fruits, until what? Until the fruits are apparent. So likewise, the other crops. فإن كان يحصد مرارا فالأصول المشتري والجزة الظاهرة عند البيع للبيع. If it's something that is frequently harvested, فالأصول للمشتري, it means that the roots, that is the trees, will be for the buyer. والجزة الظاهرة, why the apparent harvest, عند البيع, as at the time of selling, al-bari will be for the seller, because maybe he has treated it somehow and the likes. So it is the roots that is being sold. So the roots that are being sold, as for what will be harvested, this will be for the buyer. This will be for the buyer. ونهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن بيع الثمار حتى يبدو صلاحها نهى البيع والمبتاع. Now, having talked about the roots of trees that are being sold to the interested buyers, and having said that the fruits will be for the buyer at that time, sorry, the seller at that time. So subsequently, whatever fruits come out to be for the buyer, since he has taken possession of the roots. But somebody who is not interested in the roots, he wants to buy fruit from the trees. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the sale of fruits on the trees until they appear good. Until they appear good. What does it mean that they appear good? So وَسُئِلَ أَنْ صَلَاحِهَا. Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked concerning the appearing good. He said, وَتْحَتَّى تَذْهَبَ أَهَتُ, until the blight or the defect goes away, that is it to be okay when you look at it. وَفِي لَفْظٍ in a report, حَتَّى تَحْمَرَ أَوْ تَسْفَارَ, until they turn reddish, or the turn yellowish, that is when the plants, the fruits, sorry, are what, are yellowish, or they are reddish. So this is a sign that what, they are growing good. وَنَعَى عَنْ بَيْءِ الْحَبِّ. He also forbade the sale of the seeds. حَتَّى اشْتَدَّ. The crops should not be sold until what, they are strong. رَوَاهُ أَهْلُ Sunan. So the people of Sunan recorded this. The people of Sunan recorded this. So what we are saying in essence is that when the buyer wants to buy the fruit, the seller shouldn't sell the fruits on the tree until the fruits are good. So if the fruits are not good, they've not started appearing good, it is not compulsory that all the fruits must be ripe or must show the sign of ripeness at the same time. No, it's not compulsory. But some of them must have shown a sign of ripening. So in that case, so they can sell these fruits on the trees. The fruits on the trees can be sold in a situation like this. Likewise, the crops can be sold in situation like this. So when we see that these crops are strong and they are good, so it means we can buy it. Even if all the crops, all the fruits have not ripened, but you have seen the signs of ripening. They've been turning yellowish or reddish, so to say. So this is a sign that these fruits are good. So we use, if part of the fruits have ripened, so we use this to also judge the remaining fruits that have not ripened. So in this case, you can sell as a farmer. You can sell as the owner of the farm, and you can buy as an interested buyer in the fruits. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. Why all this? This is because he does not want us to find ourselves in dispute and quarrel. Because when you sell fruits that have not started ripening, so the fruits may not come out well. And if the fruits does not come out well, so the buyer, the one who has bought it, so such a person will be what, speaking a kind of quarrel with you. So, and this is going to lead to what? It's going to lead to dispute amongst you. And Islam does not want this. But when it has started ripening, so in this case, you can watch, you can buy. This is a sign that the rest of the fruits are going to what? Are going to also ripen. So it is permissible in this situation to watch, to buy. And it is permissible for the seller to sell. But before this time, it is not permissible. So we have talked about the one who wants to buy the trees on the farm. His major interest is not the fruits at that particular time. He wants to watch, have possession of the trees. So this he can sell. Because his consideration is not the fruits. And if the consideration is to buy the fruits, not the trees, then it is not permissible for the seller to sell the fruits that have not started ripening. It's not permissible for the buyer to also buy that. But if we mention something of pollinated fruits, the palm tree that has what the date palm tree that has what pollinated fruits. So if it has not been pollinated and one is interested in the trees, you can buy because it is a tree that you want to buy. But if it has been pollinated and it bears fruits, the fruit we said what goes to the buyer, goes to the seller, unless if the buyer stipulates this. Now we talk about fruits. Somebody wants to buy fruits, and the owner of the farm also wants to sell the fruits. So this must not be sold until it has shown the sign of ripening. So if the sign of ripening is there, then he can buy. Since his own intention is to buy fruits, not to buy the tree. Now, if somebody wants to buy the tree, and maybe no pollination, and the fruits have not even ripened or have not shown the sign of ripening, can one buy the trees? Yes, one can buy the trees because the major interest is in the trees, not the fruits. So in this case, the scholars will say, "Yajuzu tama'an." What is not permissible to buy on its own may be permissible if it is being bought as attendant. It's just like somebody buying a pregnant camel, for instance. It is wrong for somebody to say, I want to buy the fetus, so to say, in the womb of the camel. This is wrong. This is Be'ul Gharar. But can I buy a pregnant camel? Yes, you can buy a pregnant camel. Because your major intention is what? Is to buy the mother. Is to buy the camel that is bearing the pregnancy. Bearing what? The pregnancy. So it's not for you to buy the pregnancy. Rather to buy the camel that is bearing the pregnancy. So this is also what يَجُوزُ طَبْعًا مَا لَا يَجُوزُ اسْتِقْلَالًا. So it is permissible if something comes as an attendant, not as a main thing. So something that ordinarily would be haram to be sold or to be used may be permissible to be used if it comes as an attendant. So يَجُوزُ طَبْعًا مَا لَا يَجُوزُ اسْتِقْلَالًا. Take for instance, you eat dates, for instance, there's this small insects, so to say, in dates. So it is wrong for you to bring out those insects and eat them. Huh? For one to eat those insects, it is wrong for you to bring them out and eat them. But if you eat dates and along the line you eat some of these insects, so to say, along with the date. So this is what is permissible. But for you to say you are going to eat the insect independently, so this is haram for you. This is haram. It is not permissible. But it is permissible if in the course of eating the date, you eventually eat some insects along. So this is what is permissible. So يَجُوزُ طَبْعًا مَا لَا يَجُوزُ اسْتِقْلَالًا. So it is permissible for you to buy a tree or to buy trees of fruits, of dates, for instance, and the fruits have not shown the sign of ripening. They've not shown the sign of ripening. So it is permissible for you to buy if your intention is the trees and not the fruits. But if your intention is to buy the fruits, there must be a sign of ripening in the fruits before it is permissible for you to buy it. The Sharia says you shouldn't buy fruits that have not shown sign of ripening because this may lead to quarrel between you and the seller. The Sharia says you must not sell fruits that have not shown the sign of ripening because this may lead to what? Quarrel between you and the buyer. And this is something of gharar that the Sharia forbids. This is something of gharar that the Sharia forbids. So, and that is why it is important to take note of all these things. So, if you buy the trees, but the fruits appear not to have started ripening, this is permissible because your intention is to buy the trees. If your intention is the fruits, then you must not buy until there is sign of ripening in the fruit. And when we say there is sign of ripening, that doesn't mean that all the fruits must have what? Started ripening. If most of it or a considerable part of it has started ripening, this is what is a good message, so to say, and is a good promise that the other ones are going to follow suit. So, and that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this a ruling, so that when we are buying crops or buying fruits, so we have to consider this. And when we are buying the roots of these crops and fruits, so we have to take into consideration the necessary things. So the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala says, وقال, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو بعت من أخيك ثمرا فأصبت جرحية فلا يحل لك أن تأخذ من شيئا. At times it happens that when you sell a fruit or of a particular farm, the fruits of a particular farm, you sell it to a brother of yours. So, and for asabatu jahiyatun, and something of blight happens to each. Blight affects each. So, in a situation like this, what is expected of you is not to take the money from each. It's not to take money for each. Now, we have said that if you the fruits have started ripening, you can sell. If the fruit have not started ripening, you cannot sell. Let's assume that somebody sells before the fruit starts ripening. Is the money collected by the seller, is it lawful for him? It's not lawful for him. Why? Because the Sharia said we should not sell before the fruit starts ripening. So this person has sold while the fruits have not started ripening. So it means it is haram. So some of the scholars, like the Shafi'iyya, they are of the opinion that this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that says that إذا بعت من أخيك ثمرا فأصابته جارية فلا تأخذه. If you sell to your brother fruits and the fruits are affected by jahia, by a blight, said فلا تأخذ, don't take the money from me. بما يأخذ أحدكم مال أخيه. Why should one of you take the wealth of his brother? Because the Sharia said you should not sell to the person why the fruit have not started ripening. So you have done that. So for you to have concluded a transaction with him, so this shows that you want to eat the wealth of your brother unjustly. So this is the interpretation given to this hadith by the Shafi'iyya. However, some scholars are of the opinion that even if the fruits have started ripening, but as you have expected that everything will go well, eventually things do not go the way we have expected. The Sharia says that you shouldn't take the money. You should return the money that you have taken from that person. You should return it back to him. Because something of a calamity has affected the fruits that you sold to that person, that you have sold to the person. All this that you are talking is when the buyer has not taken the fruits away, has not harvested the fruits. If the buyer has harvested the fruits from the farm, right, and he has taken the fruits away, then you have that this has nothing to do with you. But when the fruits are still in your farm, though the fruits have ripened somehow, so and there is no negligence on the part of the person to harvest the fruits. So for the fact that the fruits are ripened or have started ripening, and you have sold it to the person, and something calamitous happen to the fruits afterwards before the harvesting of the fruits. So the fact that you have sold, it doesn't mean what you should go with the money. So you have to return the money. So this is a lot of scholars, this is what they say is the meaning of it. So as long as there is no qabd, that is the buyer has not taken the fruits. The fruits are still within the possession of the seller. So it is the seller that will be responsible for this. So this is the interpretation of some scholars to this. However, the Shafi'iyya said the seller can only be responsible for this if this was before the fruits ripen. But after the fruits have started ripening, so the buyer should be the one to be responsible for it, not the seller. The Maliki are of the opinion that if the a loss is not more than one third, then the buyer should be, the seller should be responsible for it. But if it is more than that, the seller will not be responsible for it. So they are trying to talk about this hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bima yastahillu ahdukum mal akhihi." Why should one of you make halal the wealth of his brother? So this person has been affected by this loss. So he should be assisted out, not that he should be made to bear it. He has not taken the fruits away from the farm of the seller. So the seller should be responsible and not the buyer. So this is what most scholars are upon. But as I've said, the Shafi'iyya are of the opinion that it is the buyer that will be responsible because the seller has given him the permission to take it. He is the one that has not taken it. So Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala favor the opinion of those who say the seller will be the one to be responsible for it. The fact that the buyer has been allowed to harvest it doesn't mean that what he will be responsible, unless if he has been negligent in harvesting these fruits, that is when he will be what he will be responsible. But if he is not negligent in harvesting it, then in that case the seller will be the one to be responsible. And wallahu alam, this appears to be the stronger of the two opinions. Now, by the another hadith of that was reported by Imam Muslim and some others, that usiba rajulun fi adnim sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi thimarin ibta'aha, a man incurred a loss concerning some fruits that he bought. Fakathura daynuhu, so based on this, for this reason, he incurred a lot of debt. There was a lot of debt on him. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَأَمَرَ النَّاسَ يَتَصَدَّقُوا عَلَيْهِ, he ordered the people to do sadaqah for him. فَتَصَدَّقُوا عَلَيْهِ, so they did sadaqah on him. So وَلَمْ يَبْلُغْ وَفَاءَ دَيْنِهِ, but the sadaqah collected was unable to pay his debt. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the creditors, خُذُوا مَا وَجَدْتُمْ, take what you can find. That is this that you have gotten. That is the sadaqah that people had gathered for him. Take that. He said what? فَلَيْسَ لَكُمْ إِلَّا ذَلِكَ, you don't have anything other than this. So those who say it is the buyer, that is responsible, they also use this as evidence that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only asks people towards to do sadaqah for the man so that you'll be able to pay the buyer, so to say, you'll be able to pay the buyer. Why those who say it is the seller that is responsible? They said this has to do with the case of the person that the buyer has allowed him to come and harvest it, but he has been negligent. He has been negligent. So that was why it was transferred on him. So Allahu A'lam, as I've said, the position of those who say it is the seller that will be responsible for that appears to be more convincing. The fact that the seller has sold it and the buyer has bought it doesn't mean that what the buyer has had a complete and total approach and total ability to take it, because the fruits possibly have not ripened in totality. So the seller will still have somewhat some responsibility. So, and this will be borne by him majorly. It's just like somebody who rents an apartment or from a landlord, for instance, and the Sharia allows him, for instance, to make use of it despite the fact that he has not moved in, for instance, maybe to rent it to somebody whose evil is not much more than his, that is, who is not going to use it worse than the way we use it, despite the fact that what he hasn't taken the possession of it. So as long as what is not going to make a profit out of that, as long as it's not going to make profit out of that. So with this, he has not taken possession of it. So despite that, he can do tasarruf on it. But who will be responsible for the apartment, for instance? That is, if anything happens to it before the tenant moves in, it is the landlord, for instance, because he has not moved in. So Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala liking this to this. As I've said, the one that is more convincing is that if a blight or so happens to the fruits before it is harvested by the buyer, so it is the seller that should be responsible for that, unless if he has given the buyer the opportunity to harvest it, the fruits have ripened, and the buyer refuses to go and watch, collect it until it gets spoiled. In this case, it is the buyer that is going to be responsible for that. And that's why some of the scholars have interpreted the other hadith with respect to a man that incurred or suffered a loss with respect to some fruits that he bought, and his debts were very much, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked people to do sadaqah for him. And when the people do sadaqah on him, the sadaqah was not enough to take care of his debt. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his creditors that they should take that. Take that, that is, for the time being. That is, later, you don't have any other than this now. Later, you take it. Why those who say it is a seller that is responsible, they said that this is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they should not, they shouldn't take more than that. So the hadith can mean this and can also mean this, but Allahu alam, the more convincing position is the of Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala on this. So this is what the author rahimahullah ta'ala is telling us here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لو بعت من أخيك ثمرة فأصبت أجاهية فلا يحل لك أن تأخذ منه شيئا بما تأخذ مال أخيك بغير حق. Why do you want to take the wealth of your brother بغير حق without any right to do that? So رواه مسلم, this was reported by Muslim. So this is what the author rahimahullah ta'ala asked for us with respect to the sale of fruits and trees. So as Muslims, if we want to deal in things like this, it is important to adorn ourselves with the ruling that have to do with this. So inshallah, we stop here and some other times we continue. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us good understanding of the deen, and may he subhanahu wa ta'ala make our feet firm on his path. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka la umma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.